The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
It is the People's Podcast. It is the HSP SmackDown Review with the Jersey Wrecking Crew for my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, the Scoundrel. I am the trendsetter, Brian Berg, again back this week again talking about the go-home show of SmackDown leading to the horror show at Extreme Rules. Jeff, how excited are you? The fact that we're here, we're going to be talking about the pay-per-view. We're going to be breaking down SmackDown. How you doing, man? It seems like only yesterday, unfortunately, I saw you. How have you been?
I'm doing good, man, of course.
That's great. And don't forget to check out all our social media coming, at High Spot Podcast. Make sure you give us a like, a subscription. Check out our podcast as well, as we're not only here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Also, check us out as well. Give us a thumbs up, liking on Apple Podcasts. Check us out. We're all Apple. We're all podcasts are available. Also, check out our YouTube channel as well. Sorry, Jeff, you were saying?
Great save there, Trenton. Great save.
Awesome.
Really. And I just seen it coming, man. I knew that... I set myself up again for that intro that you always do, but I guess I'm just like the, those cartoon characters always falling for it. But I'm good, Trendsetter, man. We are finally here. The horror show at Extreme Rules. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. We did the HSP AEW Dynamite Fight for the Fallen review, and now we're doing here the SmackDown recap show, man. Excited. Let's do it, man. Let's go.
Let's go. What was exciting about SmackDown was the mere fact that if you're an old school nostalgic like myself and Jeff, you had that feeling of Saturday night's main event. They opened up the show a little bit differently than they normally do. And I got to tell you, Jeff, I really liked it, and I hope they kind of keep it. I know it's probably doing it for the go-home show to kind of promote Extreme Rules. But I really like this. I really think they should do this more often because it will kind of get people excited or people who are just tuning in for the first time, which I wouldn't blame you. You don't know what's going on, so now you have an idea right before the show starts of what's going to happen tonight. So you had things from John Morrison, from Braun Strowman, The New Day, Cesaro and Shinsuke, promoting their matches and what was going to happen later on. And I really liked the way they did it. It had the old classic Saturday night's main event intro before leading up to the open of the show. Really liked it.
Didn't have the bed, though, which I was like, man.
Didn't have the bed, of course.
It looks so much like Saturday Night's Main Event, though. But really, they did a great job.
Did it psych you up for SmackDown?
Yeah, man, it did. And then the New Day's promo went right into their match and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was really good, man. I mean, I love those small attention to details. And promos to set up the match, that's okay by me. Like you said, they could maybe fine-tune it, make it more like a Saturday Night's Main Event theme to it. But so far, I mean, impressed with all the promos. You got Alexa Bliss teasing her mystery guest. And like you said, it all ended up with New Day finishing it off and then going into the match between Big E and Cesaro.
Yes, the match that would decide who would pick the stipulation for their tag team title match at Extreme Rules. And like I said, we've given a lot of praise to Cesaro throughout the years, whether you've been listening to the High Spot Podcast or you're listening to this show. And there's no question how good he's in the ring. Promo-wise, still give and take there. But there's no doubt when he steps in the ring, it's unbelievable. The work ethic, the magic, the psychology, and something that we've only recently talked about or you've mentioned before, Big E, man. He's got that type of feel. It's kind of funny when he comes down the ring. He's very comedic. But when he goes in that ring, those two had a really good match together. And ultimately, Cesaro coming up with the victory, hitting the neutralizer with a little assistance from Shinsuke Nakamura. And they finally decide later on in the show, after they defeated them, that it was going to be a tables match, though. What did you think of the match? And ultimately, what do you think about this tag team match that's going to be now a tables match for the SmackDown tag team titles?
I mean, it was a good match. And for weeks, they've been teasing the table. So it would have been really surprising if out of the blue, Shinsuke and Cesaro decide to make it a steel cage match. So, you kind of maybe... saw that coming, that we were going to get a tables match, but now that's what we're going to do here at the horror show at Extreme Rules. But again, very good match. And again, though, you could see a mile away that the stipulation was going to be a tables match. And then, of course, almost put through a table as well. Shinsuke was able to make the save, and then you've got now what's leading up to be a very good match. And, when you head into this match coming up this Sunday, you wonder, does do Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura have the New Day's number?
Oh, don't spew out what Michael Cole just said, man. That's just that's just WWE jargon right there. The way they're setting up, they're trying to have us as the audience believe that there might be a possibility. And I have to also admit, though, when you have the stipulation of a tables match, a lot of those types of situations can work against the champion because through any small little
fluke,
it could happen. So I don't know. I kind of want to say that the New Day's time, as you have mentioned several times here, should be up and move on. I just don't think right now it's strong enough to have Shinsuke and Cesaro, as talented as they both are individually and together, to put them in that situation. But it does give the intrigue and gives the ability of, wow, it could possibly happen. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to have new tag team champions after Extreme Rules? What does your gut tell
just
you?
Just like you saw.
So I had to go into the bathroom.
Just like you saw there, there's a lot of tease about the stipulation match. There's going to be tables.
Did you usually set up for the opposite to happen, you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they would have done that. Just because it would have made no sense to do steel cage after you've seen table.
No. Do you mean the way they set up by constantly promoting the New Day's number that, okay, well, they have the New Day's number.
It would have made no sense to do that. And okay. So now you're thinking to yourself, especially with that little droplet that Michael Cole hints, does the... the New Day's reign as champion, is it coming to an end this Sunday? I'm going to say no. I'm going to go with the New Day that are going to win here just because it's too obvious.
What I was saying. That's the point I was trying to make. They're making it too obvious that, they're beating
them. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about it, but it's too obvious that they're going to go to a tables match.
No. I was talking about the outcome that they're going to.
Have they made it too obvious? They've made it too obvious, I believe.
Will you be shocked if they keep it Shinsuke and Cesaro?
No, not shocked. A little surprised. But the way it's leading up to, it's like, okay, are they chasing for these titles? I would love to see. I made it clear here that I would love to see Cesaro and Shinsuke with some titles. Like I said, the New Day, they're... just to me, I mean, it's just the same thing. I'm watching it every day, every week on SmackDown. And then, you know,
you're not entertained.
You're waiting for. I'm past that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, what you're going to find out as we get into this show is that it's a little frustrating because just some of this stuff here is, you know, as a fan, is going to make you really frustrated because I know they're waiting on Xavier Woods when he returns from the Achilles injury. And, you know, maybe they're going to do a breakup there. But it just seems to me like the same stuff. It just seems, you know, even though they have a little bit more edge now because Kofi is going to, like, you know, put Cesaro through the table. He's going to, you know, go off the top rope. But it just seems like, I don't know, it's just a little, to me, like I've seen it before, been there, done that. So am I looking forward to maybe new tag team champions? Yes, but then again, what are we going to see? We're going to see a rematch again between the New Day? Are they going to give the New Day another title reign? I mean, it's just, you know, I would love to see Cesaro and Shinsuke walk away with the titles, but I think the New Day are going to keep it. I really do.
All right. Well, you know, like I said before, I think that makes the smart business sense. But again, the way WWE has been shooting this to exhaustion about the fact that Shinsuke and Cesaro have the upper hand against the New Day, maybe it's mentally in the New Day's mind right now where, you know, you have a situation of the stipulation of a tables match. Anything could theoretically happen. It could be a fluke, could be a mistake, and they could lose the title. So they throw that little caveat in there. So moving on to that, though, we had a little backstage segment there with little King Corbin.
Yeah.
We talked about Matt Riddle, talking about the IC title match. This was also interesting, too. Throughout the night, we had individuals talking about the IC title match. I kind of like that, too. They're giving their opinion on it because it's going to be Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles.
Yeah, give it a big-time feel.
In the main event, gives it that big-time feel. Yeah. Corbin, obviously... talk about his issues with Matt Riddle, thinking AJ's going to win. But it seems to be developing the fact that whatever the outcome was going to be in the main event, which we'll talk about later, that King Corbin and Matt Riddle, it's destined to happen.
Yeah, and at this point of the show is where I really was thinking, oh, my God, they're going to put the belt on Matt Riddle. You know what? Like, they're really hyping this matchup. They're really trying to make it a big-time feel on SmackDown. Ooh, wait a minute. It looks like Matt Riddle's going to walk away with the Intercontinental title. So I didn't know how I would feel about that. I was like, oh man, I had that like knot in my stomach, and I was like, oh man, they're gonna take it off of AJ. And here's the point where I thought so too, and they might have gotten into maybe like a Riddle, Corbin feud for the IC title. And I was like, oh man, this is what they're gonna do. But you know what? You know, as we would later on go and see, it's gonna be Corbin and Riddle, but maybe not as the way I thought it was gonna be.
Wow, that is a dead giveaway, Jeff. Riddle me that, huh?
Well, at least people watch the show, Trendsetter. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's not like, you know.
Well, what are we trying to do? Build anticipation to the end, aren't we?
Yeah, we're trying to.
It's like talking to you. I want it to be over in 5 minutes. If we don't want the show to be done in 5 minutes. But after that, like I said, it's destined to be Corbin and Matt Riddle. What it'll be for the IC title, we don't know in terms of later on talking about the show, but pretty interesting because Matt Riddle immediately has gotten a lot of impact going in. And we had talked about before with the whole allegations that are going on throughout the wrestling world of people being accused of misconduct. And all of a sudden, Riddle seems to be really, you know, more impactful than he's been in, than he was in NXT, which is a good sign because the guy can go in the ring. Now, can he continue that momentum? We'll see down the road. But after that, let's take a moment of bliss, folks.
Oh, and definitely to take like three moments here. Alexa Bliss was absolutely stunning. I mean, if she's not in your top five of most beautiful women in wrestling right now, in professional wrestling, then you need your head examined because, wow.
You know they're doing a bracket of the best looking male and female talent from the WWE?
Really?
I saw this on Twitter. And
who's
doing
it, you know? Or?
I have no idea. I wasn't really that intrigued into it, but when I was looking at it, I was like, you know, no offense to all the other women in the women's division in WWE, but like, if Alexa Bliss doesn't win that, then what the hell is wrong?
Wow.
Like,
I mean,
she's that, as Jeff said, stunning to me. She's breathtaking.
Breathtaking.
And, yes.
Wow.
And let us take, before we talk a moment of bliss, let's have a moment for Alexa Bliss, shall we? Well, she was going to have a special guest. We didn't know who it was going to be. It ultimately was Asuka. But prior to that, funny banter going back and forth between her and Nikki Cross.
They really have good chemistry together.
They really
It really is funny.
They're kind of funny, too, yeah. and witty and whimsical in that way, too. But speaking of who's not funny, who's annoying and irritating and intriguing. Not intriguing.
Well,
can't stand
it, you're
them.
Intrigued.
I'm intrigued by this. But Bayley and Sasha, once again, have to impede themselves in. And no, I'm not Canadian. That was just my Jericho impression there.
Impede means to stop themselves, so it's not... So you basically just interfere in other people's business.
Yes,
right?
Well, that's my vocabulary right there. Unfortunately, it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, they want to inject themselves into the segment again.
There you go. Interject
and basically, I said inject, not interject. But yeah, my goodness, it's like as much as whatever you feel about Bayley and Sasha in terms of how Jeff and I talked about the angle of them separating themselves and what's eventually going to happen, who knows, maybe 20 years down the road when we're no longer talking
about
it.
But right now, do you really want to? Because
no,
I mean,
they're on fire. They're having, looks like they're having a blast. And they're just
I'm in
so
no rush
good.
Right now. You know?
Yeah, and they're just so good right now of what they're doing, trying to be a dominant force, basically building
they're
the
everywhere,
fact.
Everywhere.
Yes, being the
everywhere.
Fact that they're tag team champions. Bayley's the WWE SmackDown champion, and Sasha is going for the Raw championship. Granted, she's supposed to be a SmackDown superstar, but now with the title, she can go on any brand she wants. Really trying to be the dominant force in the women's division because they were celebrating the day that being the anniversary of the Women's Evolution, supposedly.
Was it 5 years?
Yeah, it's been 5 years. When Alexa Bliss said it on the show, I was kind of surprised that it had been that long. Had that much time gone by, made me feel really old, and I looked in the mirror and saw so many more whites in my beard. But yes, it has been 5 years since that, Jeff.
I cannot believe it. Like, I should have Googled that and just double checked, but 5 years seems like that's just head scratchers. Ronda Rousey, right? She was on the card?
She was on the card, yeah.
This was 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
That's
seems
insane.
Like only three.
Yeah.
It does.
I don't know if that was a I don't know. Well, if they say 5 years,
well,
it's
we
5 years.
WWE likes
there's, no fact,
their facts.
There's no fact checking on this show. Mm-hmm. We speak whatever we speak is the truth. So if they say 5 years, 5 years. But so you have the friendly banter going on between Nikki and Alexa Bliss, and then
it's
you
adorable.
Know right before we're gonna get to hear our mystery guest, Sasha and Bayley interjected into the festivities, and then all of a sudden there's a confrontation. Asuka comes into the ring, and they're in this huge brawl happens, trendsetter, and then basically Alexa Bliss now can authorize matches because she had a tag team match between Bayley and Sasha against Nikki Cross and Asuka. Bayley again gets momentum. She gets the victory over Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is having some confidence issues. Asuka again, is on a losing team. Lost on Monday Night Raw, and now you got to wonder what the mindset is for Asuka and Nikki Cross heading into their prospective matches this coming Sunday. But all in all, though, like Bayley's got tons of momentum, and Nikki Cross right now finds herself really, really with low confidence heading into this Sunday.
As much as I enjoy and love the banter between her and Alexa Bliss, which is great chemistry, and you can't buy that nowadays.
By the way, Alexa Bliss can make any match she wants just because she can.
She can. I mean, dude, she was the host of WrestleMania. She's been, she has authority.
She can run my life
all.
If she wants.
Exactly. Well, we definitely know that. Anybody can. But, but you know, the intriguing thing about this match is that I don't know if you picked up on it. I kind of did a little bit because, look, listen, if we're breaking down that title match, Bayley, as dominant she's been, as she constantly tells us on TV and we hear about all the time, she has been dominant. And if this Nikki Cross, who has low self-esteem, who's the, you know, the funny, quirky little Nikki Cross, she's so adorable and I love her, I loved meeting her at the performance, and she's an amazing person. But this Nikki Cross can't defeat Bayley.
No, it makes you think that if Nikki Cross is going to win, and because she has had a series of losses, then Nikki Cross wins this matchup by disqualification.
Not by disqualification, but when we saw her attack backstage mm-hmm. Bayley again, yeah. It kind of gave me the feelings of how Nikki Cross was first introduced to us in NXT. That Nikki Cross, the one that attacked Asuka on NXT, had an amazing women's match on NXT TV at the Full Sail University. That Nikki Cross is definitely dangerous, and the way she attacked, the way she went kind of crazy and hectic, could we possibly see that Nikki Cross come back down the road?
She might have to reach deep down inside and pull that Nikki Cross off. But if anyone here thinks that Bayley is losing this title on Sunday, you need your head examined, because they might give Nikki Cross a victory here. It might be through outside interference. It might be a countout. It might be a DQ. And so I could see Nikki Cross winning this matchup, but there's going to be some kind of interference. Something
just not the title.
Just not the title, because it sets up well, because Nikki can get her win over Bayley, but yet exactly not walk away with the title, because again, there is absolutely no freaking way that that Bayley is losing the Sunday. It's just not in the realm of any kind of rightful thinking. So, you know, So if I'm going to give Nikki Cross a victory, you can give Nikki this win, just not walking away with the title.
Talk about heads being examined, right? This is what leaves me to feel so interested in what's going to happen as we build up towards the horror show at Extreme Rules, is Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt.
Now, can I say one thing here?
Yes.
Dude, like, sometimes we cover this because we love it, right? We love wrestling. You know, we love
sometimes we love
all the aspects about it. But, dude, there's sometimes where you're like, man, I'm actually got to talk about this stuff. Because it is so beyond the realm of belief that, you know what it is. It's entertainment. I get it. But some of these things, man, I'm just like, dude, I'm not 8 years old. You know, I'm not going to get freaked out by this kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Like,
we're analyzing this right
but
here.
But kind of like we talked about, though, when we were doing the AEW Dynamite recap show, you know, are we the demographic anymore nowadays? Maybe for AEW we might be. For WWE, are we? Although Jeff had mentioned on the show, if you guys haven't catched the AEW recap show, definitely do. You know, are we that demographic?
I feel when
you watch,
promo.
Yeah, but I think when you watch WWE programming, though, we are not the demographic anymore. And, you know, I'm sorry, and I know it's difficult for Jeff, and, hey, I'm right there with him sometimes, too, when I'm watching. I'm shaking my head like, really? We're putting this on? Because I have to constantly keep reminding myself I am no longer the target audience.
Now, you were paying attention, but you had your head turned to this promo, mm-hmm. and as soon as Bray Wyatt started getting into, like, the middle of the promo, I could hear you chuckle. Because obviously, like, oh my God, this is like something that, like, I'm looking forward to the, you know, how it's going to look like cinematic wise.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, you know, this mumbo jumbo, you know, I'm kind of thinking, like, we're going back to the 80s, and I'm thinking Hogan's going to pop out next time. I was like, well, you know something, Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? It just seems that, like, I don't know. It just
well, I wouldn't go that far. I just felt that the way that Bray Wyatt was talking about, yeah, he created Braun Strowman, now he must destroy him, and Braun Strowman left. And just the way he was delivering it, hey, I'm laughing not because I'm laughing at how bad it is. Because if I try to look at it from outside my perspective, I'm like, it's good, yeah, but it's not for me. And so I chuckle about it. But again, it takes nothing away from the delivery of Bray Wyatt. It takes nothing away from Braun Strowman and the promos he's delivered as well, which I think have been really good. But I laugh.
Bray
because
must destroy the monster that Braun has become.
Exactly. And you know, and hey, and huge credit to Braun from throwing his voice the way he's at. I didn't know he had that kind of talent. That kind of really threw me off when I heard him speak again on the microphone after he basically destroyed John Morrison.
Yeah, man.
It was a squash match.
I can't wait till you get to this because I got something to say about
this. Yeah, he basically destroyed John Morrison. Basically did a promo on top of the ramp, destroyed Morrison in a few minutes, and then did another promo. And I'm like, man, this is really, they're really trying to build us up as something. Again, I'm more excited. I'm more excited for the cinematic match that we're going to see at the Swamp, but this whole going home thing and stuff like that, I don't know how necessarily it helps either individual. It leaves the intrigue for us to see how it's going to end up and how they're going to play it out. But in terms of, you know, the situation you know, if Bray loses, what happens? Chester, if Braun wins, what's going on?
Because the big
problem
is...
No, because you know what? I'm talking, and that's the only thing that matters.
You say you know like 500 more times. No, listen. Mm-hmm. This is the problem.
You just said you know, too.
This is the problem here, Trendsetter, and it's not about that match, because the heck with it now. The biggest problem is now mm-hmm. is that The Miz and Morrison look like idiots, and they look like scared idiots, and then you got Morrison there who's losing a two-minute match to Braun Strowman, where you can get an NXT guy over there, or I'm sure you can pull somebody from the back that's not doing anything. I'm pretty sure Drew Gulak can go into this match, and boy, his coaching is really great, huh? Isn't he the coach of champions as we head on?
I don't talk about that hypocrite Daniel Bryan. Yeah, so don't even mention.
So now you're making me turn on Daniel Bryan here, but
no, you did it yourself.
But Morrison here is just there is no point to having Morrison in this match. Really was not. I mean, it is just to me, it is just wasting talent where you can have him in some other form here, another match, or make him go for the tag team titles again. But to have Morrison in there getting squashed by Braun Strowman, get an NXT guy in there, get somebody freaking else, get somebody else there, an enhancement talent, somebody who's an independent guy in there, put him in against Braun Strowman. But I mean, against John Morrison, this really it was so counterproductive just on so many points, because we don't need to see John Morrison get squashed in a 2-minute match and act like running away with his tail behind his legs, not being able to feel his fingers, and you idiot, why don't you just get on the stretcher and go? And then you got Lacey Evans walking back out there shooing him. I mean, to me, that was the ultimate, there's no burial in the company. To me, that's just the ultimate insult to John Morrison.
Well, let me ask you a question then. What did you expect when he signed? The moment he tag teamed up with Miz,
what did he expect
and they
when
brought
he signed,
that
right?
together, what did you think was going to happen?
Oh, not this.
Not this. Well, honestly, you haven't watched enough WWE programming, Jeff. There was a period where Jeff kind of took some time off of WWE programming, but I've been constantly watching it. Not surprised by me.
Well, I'm wary, okay? I'm always wary because it all started with the way that they introduced him. They introduced him on this crappy show called whatever it's called, The Bump or whatever it is, mm-hmm. on whatever, and they said he signed, and then they were like, okay, he's there. He's going to be, he's going to appear on what show, then he appears on a backstage segment where you see that he's on SmackDown when he's there to be with The Miz. And then ever since then, it's just been like, what the heck are we doing with John Morrison? This is a guy, and again, Impact, okay, fine, right? You guys are going to be like, oh, well, it's Impact Wrestling. Fine. But this guy was a major champion, a major player on the independent, on a wrestling organization, the face of it. And now he comes here to WWE where he was a tag team wrestler. Let's be it. That's what he was when he was in WWE. Back to being a tag team wrestler where this guy can definitely be an Intercontinental Champion, definitely a world champion. But he is losing 2-minute matches to Braun Strowman. It's just so counterproductive. Why not choose somebody else on there? Why? Hey, Morrison, why do you do that? And then the way that The Miz and Morrison are acting like these Hollywood, foolish guys here, it just makes no sense, Trendsetter. It really does, and that's the frustrating part of watching this SmackDown this week, because it just was just so counterproductive to what everything's going on, and especially to John Morrison.
Yeah, well, there you go, guys. That's John Morrison's career in a nutshell, basically. I hope he enjoys catering, because that's all he's going to enjoy doing. A guy who's, like John mentioned, very talented, we had hopes that he was going to come back, a different look, a different John Morrison, different attire, different music, nothing. It's basically he left in exile
took a 10-year
for a
pause,
while,
right?
And then came back and doing the exact same thing all over again, and he hasn't aged a bit, too. He still looks the same. It's ridiculous. I hate him and his freaking APAC abs. But anyway, moving on there, he mentioned Lacey Evans. Not much to talk about. Lacey Evans, Naomi, having some type of rivalry on SmackDown.
Man.
Lacey gets the win with the women's right hand.
It's a good move.
Well, it's an homage to William Regal when he had the punch and had the scenario where, no brass knuckles used in this scenario. But, competitive match. I think Lacey has improved in the ring. Naomi, don't know really what's going on with her.
What?
This all started with karaoke, okay, and we go from here. I don't mind storylines outside the title run, but ultimately in my mind, it has to make a little bit more sense. If it's more for entertainment value, more just have a match in there, then why waste something like that? I have no idea.
Does Naomi have a future whatsoever in the WWE?
No. As talented she is in the ring, she has, I believe, no future going forward in terms of any aspirations to becoming women's champion again.
Not that you've thought about this or I've given you any time, because this is just a question that I've just thrown at you right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you could name a couple of people that should be frustrated on SmackDown, who would they be?
That's a long list. Like you just mentioned John Morrison. I think somebody who also would be frustrated would be, you know, probably Daniel Bryan, as much as he's a hypocrite and, you know, to me, the biggest liar on SmackDown right now and biggest liar in professional wrestling. I'm sure he's frustrated now. He's not doing anything.
What about Naomi?
Naomi, you know, but again, I think the frustration comes in the sense that if we're talking about strictly Naomi, she'd probably be frustrated because they're not doing anything with her. But honestly, what they've given her hasn't been really good either. You know, you put her in a karaoke. She's had ample opportunities building up to when she finally had her moment in Orlando for WrestleMania and became the women's champion. After that, not really anything. The only interesting thing she ever did with her title reign was change the bell and made it glow. I'm like, that's pretty cool. But granted, if you watch Total Divas like Jeff and I do religiously, we knew she didn't go through a creative with that. It was completely out of the loop, and she almost got fired over it. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, yeah, there are a lot of people on SmackDown right now, which unfortunately I can't think of off the top of my head, but are frustrated because right now, the biggest thing is during this pandemic, Jeff, that you're not going to have the talent. You're not going to have the Roman Reigns there, for example, who's supposed to be the face of that company or that brand, right? He's not there. He made his decision. He wants to be his family. He wants to make sure he's healthy. He has his reasons and valid reasons not to be on the show and have to run the risk of getting COVID-19. But there's just so much more talent there, and it's not being used. Now, I don't know if it's not being – here's the thing. I don't know if it's
not
being used
right?
Because they don't want to use them, that the people are afraid to be used. But again, I can only imagine, and I can't get anybody's head, that those people who are the trainees in the performance center, in the audience, I bet you more than one of those people would want an opportunity on TV.
Do that.
And the thing with, like, for example, we don't cover Raw on the official WWE podcast, but do watch Raw, and people there are being introduced to newer talent. Like, for example, Garza and Andrade are fixtures there, so was Austin Theory for a while, and so, you know, you have individuals you don't see they're trying to build up because now they have the opportunity. The main stars aren't there anymore, so you have the chance to showcase newer talent. Now, Matt Riddle might be an exception, I guess, because immediately when he came in from NXT, been a while, he has been a main focus. But it can't just be one person.
No.
You know, the mere fact that we see the same, and no offense to the Lacey Evans and the Naomis and the women that have been there for a good amount of time in the women's division.
Where's but Otis?
We need
where's
more.
Mandy?
Well, they're at that pool. Last time we saw them at that pool still, you know, sipping champagne and making out. And, you know, that's and we're Sonya Deville, right? And that's the scenario that we find ourselves in terms of how Jeff was talking about and built up his frustration and made the ultimate sin of trying to interrupt me while I was talking. And it's like I didn't slap him across the table. But I respect his enthusiasm and his passion for it. But if he ever does it again, it's going to be the last time Jeff and I do this show on the NFSW podcast. It'll just be the trendsetter.
Just letting you know there, Matt, that Greg and
Yeah, I'm
going
to get Greg to get back in here, and Jeff will be out. But no, I understand your frustration, Jeff. And besides the names we just mentioned, can you think of anybody else off the top of your head that would be frustrated at the fact they're on SmackDown roster not being used?
I would say Alexa Bliss. You know, I mean,
as much as we love her, do you really feel like right now, currently, there's a reason for her to be in the ring? As much
Charlotte
as she
and Bayley, that's your main reason right now. They're not on there right now. Use the opportunity to push Alexa Bliss or bring her back to where she was. This is like less than a year ago, or maybe a little over a year ago, that she was on top of the women's division, right? Now, maybe they're a little afraid to maybe, you know, trust her again because she has had her injury issues and stuff, but now would be the perfect time to pull the trigger on someone like Alexa Bliss and make her that threat, because I'd love to see Asuka and Alexa Bliss go at it and fight one-on-one for the championship. And it's just this face turn to me is, while it's great and everything like that, and it's really done wonders for Nikki Cross and bringing her out as a character, you know, okay, we've already done that stuff, so let's bring back the Alexa Bliss that we all know and love and have her compete for a championship here. And if you're worried about the injuries and stuff like that, you shouldn't be, because here's your opportunity. There's no Charlotte right now, right? Mm-hmm. There's no Becky Lynch. So you're missing some people, right? You refuse to put over Bianca Belair for some reason. She's not there. So you have Asuka as your main person right now. You have Bayley on on SmackDown.
Talk about frustration. Sasha must be feeling it too.
A little bit too, but I mean, right now she's a woman's champion, right?
So, I know, but when we talk about Asuka and what she was when she was coming into the main roster and what you know she is, and she's done a great job of reinventing herself again.
Well, there was a point where you're frustrated because she wasn't getting the hype, but now she's there. Now she's on both shows and she's showing up on all these things, and she's doing a great job for her. So she's pulled herself up by evolving, I would say. But like, you got to give like Alexa Bliss a shot here, or if not, push someone like Bianca Belair. Let's do something. And I'm pretty sure some of the women that have been, how about the call ups too? Some of them have even made their debut, like Vanessa Bourne. So I read something where like she's been called up. I was like, when was this? She hasn't even been used. Yeah. And so, like, I mean, do something. I mean, NXT is having issues too. Where, like, did you see Tommaso Ciampa's post on Instagram? He's the creative has nothing for him.
Yeah,
creative has nothing for you. Really, on NXT, and that's why you lose to AEW every week.
Well, not just that too, but I think when you look at a character like Tommaso Ciampa, Jeff, hasn't he done everything he can possibly do in NXT right now?
Is Tommaso Ciampa defined by Gargano? Is Tommaso Ciampa at the end of the day defined by the rivalry with Gargano, and then you're like, oh, there's nothing else that I would like to see him in?
I don't think he's defined by it. He's remembered for that long rivalry, but I don't think he's defined by that as a character, because he's you know, when he was coming up to the main roster before he had to deal with his neck injury, and then he was out for a good amount of time to deal with that, though, there was still a lot of momentum and intrigue in terms of matchups he could have now with SmackDown superstars or Raw superstars. But he's also mentioned he has no desire to want to go to SmackDown or Raw. Mm-hmm. So if you leave him in NXT, basically there's nothing else for him to do. He was kind of dominated by Killer Cross. I'm calling him Killer Cross, right? He's not Karrion Kross to me. He's Killer Kross. And after that, it's like, I thought this was going to continue this rivalry. But right now, I can't say that I'm not surprised with the fact that creative has nothing to do with Tommaso Ciampa right now, because honestly, I'm having difficulty even thinking what else he could do in NXT besides being a guy now that starts putting people over.
Because they've done almost everything they have in that rivalry with Johnny Gargano. And here's another thing too, just because you come back from injury doesn't mean you have to be a face. You know, I mean, the people are going to cheer for you and stuff like that, but there's a perfect way to come back, and then you can just turn on the fans, and you don't have to do that switch right away. Oh, okay, so we have him like this, and all of a sudden he's coming back from a neck injury. Fans are going to be pulling for him. We have a documentary, and of course fans are going to be cheering when he comes back out. Yes, they are, but you know what? There's a way to keep the guy like the anti-hero without having to turn babyface, you know. It just some of that stuff just makes no sense too. And like I said, like Alexa Bliss should not be like Charlotte should never be a face. Neither should Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss should never be a face. And now, right now, I think that's hindering her from doing it, and plus the injuries as well. But there's a lot of frustration, and you can tell when we're talking about Tommaso Ciampa right now, it means that to get back to the whole Jeff Hardy interview, backstage interview, where he's talking about the Temptations, about being in a bar fight and how he's got to fight through it every day. Oh my God, they're beating this so into you that you're like, enough already. Let's just get this.
I think the word that you and I always constantly deal as we've been covering professional wrestling, even before coming on the unofficial WWE podcast, was the mere fact of being force fed something. Over and over again. You present something, all right, you have it, but as soon as you keep having it over and over again, and it's the same thing, you get tired after a while. You want some variety.
Especially when there's weeks where you don't, I don't know. You know, are you looking forward to this bar fight next week?
The first time Jeff is speechless right now with frustration. I've seen it several times speechless.
Very frustrating. And I just want, and again, we want to get the response from you, the fans. Are you frustrated? Like, are you looking forward to Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus on SmackDown this coming Friday night? I mean,
myself, no. You, it's clear it's not. I'm sure a lot of the members of the crew feel the exact same way. And it's not just us, guys. I'm sure a lot of people that are covering the world of wrestling feel the same thing, that this thing has been force-fed and been constantly overdone, and really overdone, not in a good way, in terms of sometimes you can take a storyline and you can constantly keep beating it into you, where you're like, all right, I just want to see what happens. It's like watching a good trailer for a movie. I can't wait for this movie to come out. Eventually, after a while, you're just like, okay, I just want it to be over. And I think that's where the stage all of us are at right now. We kind of want the storyline to be over and move on from Sheamus and Jeff Hardy and this whole story angle. this whole storyline angle of you know, what's going on with Jeff Hardy and overcoming his addictions to alcoholism and things of that nature. So
we
yes,
we get it. We get it. You're we just understand. Disappointment, a failure, a flop. You know, it never was. So we get it. You know, just have the freaking bar fight and let's get it over with. Now we'll have it next week. And Sheamus again with the bro kick. You know, to the face of Jeff Hardy. All right, whatever. We'll see it on Friday night.
We're talking about faces, Jeff. We talked about, you know, people converting from babyface to this, being given kicks to the face. You know, the face that runs the place, AJ Styles.
Finally.
The Intercontinental Champion. A title that has been, without a doubt, so overlooked and underused and undervalued, underappreciated. I can go on and on, but my vocabulary is not that deep. I don't have a thesaurus with me. Going one-on-one with Matt Riddle, a lot of people are surprised. Wow, Matt Riddle's already getting a shot, but he defeated him on his debut match, so rightfully so, I guess. In the rankings of WWE, he deserved the title match, I guess. You have Daniel Bryan at some point during the show being the hypocrite that he is, walking around in the woods, probably planting a tree to save the world. Great for him. Talking about how, you know, AJ Styles being forced to be a fighting champion. Really, Daniel Bryan? Because when you were WWE champion, right, you were forced to defend that title when you didn't want to because you were fickle with everybody. But yet now you want to point the finger as being the hypocrite that you are, and I keep saying the word again because it's true, that AJ Styles not being forced. But he could be one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. The mere fact, Daniel Bryan and Jeff, I want to let you in on this too, the mere fact that AJ Styles has the Intercontinental title in his possession already makes him the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. And the reason I'm saying that is because every single time, whether he wants to defend the title or not, it's going to be a great match. And that's what you want your Intercontinental Champion to be. You want him to go in there with anybody, and he's proven that so far, and make it a great match. And there's no doubt on my mind, Jeff, that him and Matt Riddle, considering the first time they faced each other on Matt Riddle's debut on SmackDown, we're going to have a great match. And, you know, it didn't disappoint.
Didn't disappoint, man. Probably one of the best matches of the week in all.
Why couldn't that go 30? Why couldn't that go 30?
I know.
Why couldn't you give me 4 segments of that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you, man. They have good chemistry. They work well together. You know,
surprising AJ, that they haven't had a lot of history with each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Just AJ Styles is just good. You know, Matt Riddle's good, too.
Don't take away from Matt Riddle. Yeah, he's good as well, man. Yeah.
So, I mean, again, enjoyable. It was a good way to end my night, you know, because SmackDown made me cranky. It really did. And so, like, ended on a good note like this.
But the only thing they ever did good was build up the IC title match for the main event. Yeah. That's what they're doing good during the course of the match, regardless of the frustration and
title,
stuff like that.
Your IC title is main event in SmackDown. There's nothing much more you could want out of that than, you know, with the main eventing SmackDown.
And you know what I like about this? The fact that, you know, for how many times did you and I complain, or not complain, but we showed our frustration of the when AJ Styles was the WWE champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was second fiddle to the Universal title, which was Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the WWE championship took a backseat to everything. When there are situations where it should have been the main event, you had nostalgia matches as the main event. We're like, no, that title should be your main event to close the show because he's just that good. And now the IC title and AJ Styles are more important than the Universal title. I could care less about the Universal title. Or even if the WWE Championship was on SmackDown still.
It's not being defended in the wrestling ring.
Yeah, I could care less.
You know, Universal title's not being defended, you know.
And I'm sorry, you could bring Roman.
There's no IC title match at the horror show either. It's like,
yeah,
when we go through the card, I mean, you'll see the card, but we have one more match, I think, to review for that horror show, which is called Extreme Rules. I mean, at Extreme Rules.
It's going to be a horror show. But how funny is that, right?
Yeah.
Even if Roman Reigns came back and was part of the show, I still think the IC title being in AJ's position, people would be more intrigued than that being the main event match than the WWE Championship or the Universal title.
Totally agree. And AJ gets the win. Like I said, walking into this match, heading into it, I was a little nervous because I thought Matt Riddle was going to win. Because
that's what's so great. It made you nervous.
It was. The hype was real. Even Alexa Bliss thought that Matt Riddle was going to be the Intercontinental Champion at the end of the night. So I was like, whoa. You know?
I was really surprised when she said that. Yeah, How could she say that? How could she? Broke my heart.
Still beautiful. Still gorgeous.
Still broke my heart.
And so I was like, whoa. But then AJ Styles, the savvy veteran, was able to counter Matt Riddle's submission. Gets the 1-2-3. He still remains a champion. And a sign of respect, which I did not mind.
No.
Because it kind of gives a seal of approval to Matt Riddle And, man, these guys could fight forever. You could fight, you know, 10 more times, and I would still be interested.
But didn't go fully babyface, though, because after that, King Corbin attacks him, and AJ just, he walks away.
Walked away.
As a heel would do, right?
Exactly.
Hey, I give you respect, but that doesn't mean I have to help you.
I don't like you. Yeah. I respect what you did in there.
But I don't like you.
But I ain't got to save you.
Put some damn shoes on, boy, as AJ would probably say. Yeah.
So he is not the bro that runs the show. AJ Styles is the face that runs the place.
Exactly.
So good for AJ Styles. I kind of put a smile on my face because SmackDown was eh. I mean, I love the intros. You know, the Big E and Cesaro match was really good. And then just a bland middle.
But ultimately,
but then we capped it off, of course, with Matt Riddle and AJ Styles, which if there
isn't
that
what you want though in
a
show though,
I'm happy.
A good beginning and good end.
Yeah, at least middle. Like, at least the middle. Care at least a little bit about the middle, for goodness sake. But the only match we did not give our prediction is Sasha Banks versus Asuka, and we can because Sasha Banks is a tag team champion, so she can go on to Raw and challenge. So we can talk about this matchup. Mm-hmm. I think Sasha's going to win.
Me too.
I think she's going to be the Raw Women's Champion. Why? Because she's got the tag team titles as well, so she can go on Raw. And, you know, she can go over there and she can continue her rivalry with Asuka. I think that's what they're doing. When I talked about Alexa Bliss putting her in that spot of Becky Lynch or Charlotte, I think they're doing that with Sasha. As well deserved, because they're doing a tremendous job. You're going to get more of Bayley and Sasha after this Sunday.
On every show.
It's going to be more obnoxious. But, hey, they're doing their job. So when it comes to that matchup between Asuka and Sasha Banks, I think Sasha's walking away as the new Raw Women's Champion.
I would agree there because they've been building it up so much where they want Sasha and Bayley to be this dominant force, to be champions individually on both brands and to be the tag team champions. And so something that we had talked about in the past of, well, you know, when will this split happen? There were little seedlings dropped in there. Now, how could
you
really do it?
But
now, how could, well, I wanted it 3 years ago, mm-hmm. but how could you do it now? It makes so much sense, kind of like what I talked about with the New Day. It just makes so much sense now that you hate them so much that you want these individuals to beat them, but yet you're willing to see them over and over again. And now they have the ability of being on three shows. They can be on SmackDown. They can be on Raw. They can be on NXT TV. You know, and it works for them because, you know what, they do their job very well. And they can go in the rings, too, and perform. So I think they've built it up so much that they want Sasha to be the Raw Women's Champion. It's going to happen. And we're going to have two individual champions and tag team champions at the same time. I think first time ever in WWE history that would ever happen.
Yeah. So there you go. They will have all the gold by the night's end at Horror Show at Extreme Rules Trendsetter. And another week, Trendsetter here. We appreciate everyone that listened to the HSP AEW Dynamite Fight for the Fallen recap show. Enjoyed doing that. We also enjoyed doing this show, the HSP SmackDown Review with the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can also catch other great shows on here with the Matt Raw Reviews, Wrestling Nostalgia, Saturday Night Week in Review. Tons of great hosts here on the show as well, with Mary Grader, Ashley Mann, Anthony DeMarco. You have your NXT review with Zach Smith. We're too tired, Zach, so we probably don't want to do the NXT review show, so you can keep it for another few weeks. No, but really, everyone does a great job here, and so happy to be part of the WWE Unofficial Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Make sure you watch Horror Show at Extreme Rules this Sunday. So many stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling. It's good to see wrestling coming back, you know. It's good to see stuff kind of start to get back and pick up. You know, New Japan is back. I think Impact Wrestling is going to have Slammiversary this Sunday as well.
They will.
So, Saturday, I believe. So, you know, I'm glad because we all need wrestling, and it's just good to be part of it. When you're covering wrestling as we do on the High Spot Podcast, you definitely want more wrestling content. So, guys, we're going to give you a second here. So, go on. Anyone that's listening to this, follow us at High Spot Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, all our social media. Check out our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe, High Spot Podcast. We are on bodyslam.net. At least I think we still are. And Trendsetter, I mean, another great week here for SmackDown.
Another great week for SmackDown in terms of building up towards the go-home show for Horror Show at Extreme Rules. So, guys, we'll be back next week. And don't forget also to check us out on YouTube. Just type in the word High Spot Podcast on YouTube. Give us a like, subscription. We greatly appreciate your support. as we always do for listening to our shows and watching our content on YouTube. You know, hopefully as this pandemic, you know, moves on further, you know, there will be some sense of the word that everybody likes to use, normalcy. You know, you'll see a lot of videos we've conducted from shows that we've done on our podcast to events we've gone to where we've gone to conventions and spoken to a lot of the talent on the indie scene as well. The futures of, you know, future AEW superstars, future WWE superstars, future Impact superstars. You never know. So it's always great to do that. And hopefully we can do more of that down the road. But again, you'll definitely enjoy that content, stuff that we find entertaining. We always appreciate your support. So for the Jersey Writing Crew, my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, the Scoundrel, I am the trendsetter, Brian Breger. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's HSP SmackDown review. And if you haven't figured it out by now, guys, this is a labor of love, but we love doing it because we do it for one reason and one reason only. We do it for you, the crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.